I love you, Jesus. I love you. You're amazing. You're awesome. We love you, Jesus. Change our hearts, Lord, to love you more, to love you more, Jesus. Amen. Amen. God is good. He's good all the time. Good to see you here this morning. God bless you. Thank you for that great worship. Appreciate it. Anybody got any blessings do you want to share before we go into the new year? Anybody blessed? Hewitt. Amen. Amen. Yeah, he's good. He's good. I see your kids, Sammy. All right. You had a blessed Christmas, eh? In your new house, Sammy back there. I mean, Noel. What's your name back there? What's his name? Yeah, I know. Yes. What did he say? A new bike. That's awesome. That's great. Walker?
I got some training stuff here.
Cool. All right. You are going to be strong. That's great. You think you're going to do boxing? Wow. All right. Anybody else have a blessing? Linda. Yeah, come on up.
This is a strange kind of blessing. It's a blessing. On Sunday, it was really bad weather. Remember that all the snow and everything. And we had to go out and get our Indian dinner. My son and I, we love Indian dinner for Christmas. And the snow had blown so much, I didn't see that there was a wall. And we're stepping unknowingly up on top of this wall, thinking it was a mound of snow.
Oh.
And next minute, I'm going. And I went in slow motion. I'm saying, no, I'm not going down. I never fall. No, no, I'm not falling down. The next minute, my face was in the snowpack. My son is trying to lift me up. I said, no, don't come that way. Come on. We were laughing so bad. You said something once when you nearly had an accident, and it was like in slow motion.
Mm-hmm.
We pray every day for the angels.
Amen.
And I didn't hurt myself.
Wow.
Not one
thing. Yep, yep.
And I could have done my back.
Yeah.
It was just sudden. You know when you go suddenly. But I remember I was just like, whoa. And I'm thinking, what am I doing then?
Amen. And the laughter is always a blessing, isn't it? You know, that's good. Hopi, you have a blessing? What is it?
I got new shoes.
You got, are you wearing them? I like them. You got new shoes. Oh, you're precious. Thank you. Now I have a blessing. I got hugged by Hopi. That's awesome. Gary. Fantastic. Yeah, that is a blessing. Amen. Well, I'm blessed by seeing Karen's hair. Really? That's awesome. You're looking hip. You know? We're blessed that God's touching and healing you. Brian?
Christmas Eve, stayed overnight and had Christmas dinner the next day. We were just blessed that
Amen, amen. It's good to have Evelyn here. You were just a little sprig when we were here before. God bless you. That's awesome. Anybody else? Any blessings? Moyano family, any blessings? That's awesome. Yay. Awesome. Loretta. Loretta? She helped you. Oh, yes. That's right. Yes. Amen. So she was saying that Linda Warner helped her last week because she was on coffee and she was on communion as well, and Linda just came in and just helped her. So that was awesome. We're blessed because Faith's back from Florida, so it's great to have you back. And all right, if there's Sunday school this morning, the kids can be dismissed. All right, I want to talk this morning about hope. I know that usually we talk about what we want to leave behind and the things that in the past that we just have to leave behind and all that, and that's great, and that'll probably flow into this as well. But I want to talk with us this morning. I believe the Holy Spirit wants us to go into a new year and a new season with great hope. And that oftentimes our hopes get dashed, don't they? Well, that's the way I say it. But they just get, you know, you hope for something and it doesn't happen, or it doesn't happen right away, or it doesn't happen the way you think it's going to happen. And so Scripture says hope deferred makes the heart sad. And so let's talk a little bit about hope this morning. We're saying goodbye to the past, hello to the future, and that's awesome and exciting. I hope you feel that way about it. Some of you will gather for, we do not have a New Year's Eve service tonight, but some of you will gather in friends' homes, and I think it's generally a time, I hope, that and amidst the celebrations and the partying that we do as Christians, which is awesome and necessary, but I think that it can also be a sobering time, a time when we just do a little bit of reflection and just wondering, you know, what have I accomplished? Did I set goals last year? Have I accomplished those goals? Were those goals something that the Holy Spirit placed in my heart, or were they just wishes for me? We talk about, we think about our victories of the past year. I hope you do, because we've got a lot of victories. You share them during your blessing time. That's a victory. You know, I jokingly said about Karen's hair, but what a great victory. Amen. What a great victory. All of the blessings that we share are great victories. And we've worked through some regrets, some things that we've done that have not turned out the way that we thought they should turn out. But we've made commitments to ourselves that maybe haven't turned out the way that we thought. Maybe we didn't keep the promises to others, and maybe we had some unfulfilled goals that we didn't reach. But we don't want to live in regret, do we? You can't live in regret. There's a song that we sing that's similar to that. Let's not live in that place of regret. But let's spend some time. Maybe I'd encourage you today to spend some quality time. Just take an hour or so and just meditate on last year. I don't know. Do any of you keep journals? Just, you know, I keep a journal, a book, and I don't write in it every day like a diary or anything, but you know, every once in a while I'll just jot some things down, and it's been really interesting just to go over those journals. I'm excited because when I die, my kids get those journals, and they can, I try to be careful. Yes, you cannot throw those journals out without reading through every one of them. And so I don't put anything mean about the kids in them or anything like that, you know, that stays inside. Of course, there's nothing like that, but you know. But it's very interesting to go back, you know, and to read and to find out, you know, God, I thought you would do it this way, but you didn't. It's done, but you did it. You chose a totally different way to do it. And so where we need to repent for things of the past, things that we've done, things that we've attitudes that we've had, then we take time and we do that, especially at going into a new season and a new year. And we need to make changes and resolutions. I'm not usually one for making a New Year's resolution. I've not done that too much in the past. But I want to encourage us. In fact, I've got some papers here that I'm just going to ask Manuel, if you'll hand. I'm having trouble with names today. It's not that I don't know you, but I almost called you Noel. Thank you. If you give each person one each. So what you're going to do, you can do it between now and next week, or you can do it today. But I'm going to ask you to write on those papers what you want God to do in your life this year. Not, like I have little goals. I'm going to clean out my closet and do this and do that and get rid of this Christmas stuff that I didn't use. Okay, all those are little goals, little resolutions that we do. I'm going to change this. I'm going to put this here. And, I have a goal in my home that I want this done, this fixed this year. Things like that. Well, that's not what this paper is for. You can do that on your own. But this paper is what you want God to do in your life this year. And you can do it now, or you can bring it back to me next week. But I would really encourage us to all do it and take some time. If you need some time to think about it, then think about, God, what do I want you to do in my life? So here's what you're going to do with that paper. When you give it to me, you are going to fold it. You're going to put your name on the outside. I am not going to read it. I'm going to put it in a brown envelope. I'm going to seal that envelope, and I'm going to put it in the safe at the offices. And then next year, on this time, on New Year's Eve, I'm going to hand those back to you, and they're private things. I'm not ever going to read them unless you want to share that with me or with somebody else. But they're just private things. This is your things. It's good if you have a husband or a wife or someone in your family that you can share that with, because that helps us to be accountable, doesn't it? And so you're going to go over those things, and you're just going to take some time and just see, God, the things that I wanted you to do in my life, did it happen? Did those things happen in my life? And if they didn't happen, then am I going to put them for next year? Or was it an unfulfilled, was it just a wish? Or was it really from the heart of God? So what do you want God? So when you bring those back, I'm going to place, your name is going to be on the outside, right? Say, my name's going to be on the outside. Because I don't know if you noticed, but you don't follow directions very well. So you're going to write your name. You're going to put, Loretta, hold that up. Hold that straight up in the air. You're a paper. That's what it's going to look like when you give it back to me, except your name is going to be on it. So you're going to fold it in half, not lengthwise, in half that way. That's correct, Manuel. Yeah, so got that instruction. Exactly. And then you're going to put your name on it. I am not going to read that. I will not be tempted in any way, shape, or form. Trust me, darling. I am not going to read it. It would be go in that envelope. It'll be sealed. It'll be put in our safe across the way. And then in a year's time, we're going to open that. And just, you might even want to jot down for yourself what you put on that paper, so you can keep it before you, so you can keep saying, God, this is what I want you to do. So the other side of it is, how am I going to facilitate God doing that in my life, right? I don't want to meddle, so I don't really want to give an illustration. But you know what I mean. Like if you want more money, and you're saying, God, I want to increase my finances, then what are you going to do about it, right? What's your part in doing that? Someone said the other day, I think it was one of the kids at our Christmas time, said, oh, I want money. And someone said to him, then get a job and work. You know, so that's the side of it, isn't it? We can't just sit back and expect God to do everything. When we put our foot in the water parts. So when we begin to do something, we facilitate God, a move of God in our lives. So that's your homework. So let's go into this new year with hope and trust in the Lord. And it was really interesting to me that, you can change it to the next slide, Cindy, that in many of the songs that we sang this morning, there was the word hope, hope, hope. And I didn't have a title for my message, and Rebecca asked me to type one of the songs out for her. And then there's a line in there about lost hope being restored and renewed. Right? Lost hope. And I think we kid ourselves if we think that we, somewhere along the line, we haven't lost hope. Because all of us, no matter how strong we are in the Lord, we have hopes and expectations. And oftentimes those things include somebody else. And when it includes somebody else, then it's just a little bit different. And so I think we live in a bit of a bubble oftentimes as Christians, because sometimes we don't deal with reality, because we just slap Jesus, and I've said that before, we just slap Jesus on top of everything. And so we recognize and realize that we have hopes that have been dashed. We maybe hoped for healing, and it didn't quite happen the way we thought. We'd hoped for a new relationship, and it didn't happen the way we thought. We'd hoped for more money, and it didn't happen the way we thought. We'd hoped for a bigger congregation, and it didn't happen the way we thought. And so we all have hopes that have been lost, maybe. And God wants to come along and breathe on them by the Holy Spirit and renew those lost hopes. Hope, which was lost, now stands renewed. Great song, great line. Thank you for that. So in the book of Ephesians, Paul prayed that the eyes of our understanding would be enlightened. And that was my prayer as I went over this message, that there would be a revelation. A revelation is a disclosure of God. A revelation is a disclosure of God, where God exposes himself to us. That's what a revelation is. Sometimes we think, I've had an aha moment. I've heard that said all my life as I grew up in church. And then one day it just penetrates, right? One day you have like, what? I never really recognized that before. And I think revelation and disclosure of God can happen just all the time in our lives. We sing the same songs, don't we? Sing the same songs over and over again. And yet in the midst of those songs that I've sung hundreds of times, yet all of a sudden there comes a fresh revelation of what he did on the cross for us. And I'm just reduced to tears. And that's a revelation. That's a disclosure of God. And God is so multifaceted that one layer peels off that we see, and then another and another and another, and it just gets deeper and deeper. And so Paul prays for the Ephesians that the eyes of the understanding would be enlightened. And so that's been my prayer this week, is that our hope, in the area of hope and trust and relying on God, that our eyes would be enlightened. In Ephesians 1, he uses that term, and enlightened means flooded with light. And that's not my scripture for this morning, but I want to use that word and pray that we will be enlightened. We get our English word photo from the word enlightened, and we think of how a camera works. A film is in a dark box waiting for the shutter to open, waiting for light to impress on the film, impresses the image on the film. And so the revelation, the lifting of the veil, a film waiting in a dark box, waiting for the shutter to open, that's what a revelation is, and that's what enlightenment is. And so when we get an impression of God, that's why we're saved this morning. That's why we've received Christ as our Savior, because we had a revelation that we were sinners, the shutter of our minds open, the shutter of our spirits open, and the impression of God and what he's done for us in giving us his son has imprinted his image in our minds. And so my text for today is Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 8, up on the screen, says this: "For he shall be as a tree planted by the waters, that spreads out her roots by the river, doesn't see when heat comes, but her leaf shall be green, and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit." Well, that's quite an amazing promise, isn't it? That births hope in us. And we sing songs. We sang a song this morning declaring who God was. And so my first thought when I read this, I'm wondering, okay, God, who are you talking to? "For he shall be like a tree." So who's the Holy Spirit talking about? Who can benefit from all of these things, all these promises that are in this verse here? And so we've all made promises that we haven't kept, and we've had promises made to us that have not been kept. But God is a God who keeps his promise. He's a God who keeps his word. He can't not keep his word. It's just not who he is. And so he shall be like, but who is the he? And so we back up a verse and says, "Blessed is the man that trusts in the Lord and whose hope," say hope, "is in the Lord." So the he that he's talking about, all these blessings like a tree planted by water, etc., the he is the person or the man who trusts in the Lord and whose hope is in the Lord. The Amplified says it, "Most blessed is the man who believes in, trusts in, and relies on the Lord, and whose hope and confidence the Lord is." There was a line in that new song that we sang. I can't remember the exact words of it, but it's like, let me get it down from up here. It talks about God honoring God. Yes, that's right. "I hope which was lost now stands renewed." I don't know if I can read it. "I give my life to honor this." And I think, do we give our life to honor the incredible sacrifice? I mean, our everyday life, not our church life, one little segment. But I give my life to honor. May everything I do, say, may my life honor God. That's what it's all about, isn't it? And so the Amplified says, "Most blessed is a man who believes in, trusts in, and relies on the Lord, whose help and whose confidence the Lord is." So whenever there's a promise, whether it's the one making the promise or God, then we read the fine print, don't we? We read the fine print of our mortgage, of our insurance, of all of those things. We read the fine print. And so the fine print in here is the one, if I hope in, rely in, and trust God, then all of these things will begin to be manifest in my life. And so we want to obtain the blessing and the promises of God. And if we trust in, rely on, and put our hope and confidence in the Lord, then the promises of God become our promises. They're mine. And it's not that we don't fail, that we don't have shortcomings, that things don't happen in our life, but it's that we always go back to that. And we, God, oh my gosh, I haven't hoped in you. My hope was dashed at that point in my life, and so now I'm going to come back and I'm going to hope in you again. One of the things that I love about God is that he's so very positive. Even though there's hell to contend with, literally in the scriptures, even though there's, if you don't do this, then these are the consequences. You know, in Jeremiah, it talks about cursed is the man that doesn't. All of that is the negative part of it, but then God always puts a positive spin on it, doesn't it? Doesn't he? Because he's so positive. He's just so positive about our life. When something negative happens in our life, like you shared this morning, even the negative of the falling, then the positive comes out of it. Nothing happened to me. I didn't get hurt. My son and I laughed and laughed and laughed. And, you know, those are positive things that come out of negative stuff that happen in our lives. And so his positive imprint impacts our negative situation, that shutter opens. You know, my mom, most of you know, prayed for me for so many years of my life, and the more she prayed for me, the worse things got in my life. The more she prayed and pressed into God and fasted and got the whole church praying, I didn't go out with some pastor's son or pastor. You know, I brought home an outlaw motorcycle gang member, and yet my mom must have stood back and thought, like, God, this, I think you misunderstood me, God, right? Don't you sort of think like that sometimes when, I don't know, when your kids bring home something, someone that you don't really want them to bring home, and you're thinking, God, what is this all about? But we place our hope, our trust, we rely on God in the midst of circumstances in our lives. And one of my mom's favorite verses was that God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that you ask or think, according to the power that is at work within us. And so we see the character of God in our lives. We see that he is worthy of hope. He's worthy of trust. He's worthy to rely on. He's for us, not against us. God's always for us. No matter how far in that down we go in a pit, God is for us, always for us. You know, sometimes my dad said to me when trouble happened in my life and I was a young rebellious teenager, you made your bed, you lie in it. That was what my dad said to me. My father, God, never said that to me. Now, that was out of frustration, etc., in my dad's life, and etc., etc. And we're human. Yes, we are. But my father, God, never says that. If you get in a mess and you have made this horrible bed, Joy, all you have to do is hope, trust, rely on me, and I will help you through this. That's who our Father God is. He's a positive, loving God. Even when things go wrong in our life, he takes what the enemy means for evil and he turns it for good. Because he's awesome, because he's amazing. He delights to bless us. It's what he wants to do. He wants to bless us. I know sometimes my family says, you know, Mom, you really spoiled us at Christmas time. You know, you gave us way too much. But I enjoy so much. He delights. I watch Gail and Terry bring this huge stocking for the grandchildren, you know, and lug it in the house, and every gift is meticulously wrapped, and you should get a job wrapping because it's so beautiful. I don't even want to see them open it. Like, don't open that. It's too beautiful, you know, but they just kind of rip it off, and I see joy and delight in their faces, and the way that they've hunted this down. God is like that. He's like that. That's God in us that wants to do stuff like that. He's not stingy. He's not in debt either. He's not stingy, and he loves to bless. He delights to bless. He doesn't say, well, here you go. Okay, I'm going to give you this. I'm just going to give this to you because you've asked for it. So here you go. He's not like that. He's got this load up there in heaven waiting to push it out on us because he delights to bless us. And yes, there are consequences for sin, but God has a plan, a better plan. The word blessed is used so many times in scriptures, too numerous to even mention. But God loves us and wants to bless us. As we go into 2018, we need to know that God loves. He's for us, not against us. He didn't take something from us because we've been bad. Stuff hasn't happened to us. Our health has not deteriorated as a punishment from God. No, that's because that's not who God is. And so when we trust and rely and hope on him, it appears that the blessing is automatic. You know, I have inventions in my head. Ever have inventions in your head? You know, I go out to when I used to have a van, I'd go to my van, and my arms would be full of stuff, and I'd think, you know, if we could just like put something on our leg and just put it under the bumper, and the trunk would open automatically. And so I would come home and I would say, you know, hey, this would be a great invention. And my kids would look at me and say, Mom, it's already done. Mom, somebody's already invented that, you know. And things that happen automatically. They just, you know, you go into stores and you kind of get ready to push the door and you almost fall in because the door opens automatically for us. And that's how the blessing of God is in our lives. Because we hope, trust, rely on God, those blessings happen just automatically in our lives. And then our lives take on destiny and take on a purpose. We spread out, Jeremiah 17 says, taking ground, getting our refreshing and getting life from the river. And the river is always symbolic of the Holy Spirit. And then we become people of passion, people of vision then. Because when there's no vision, people perish. But when there's no hope, there's no vision. And so we need hope in our lives to fuel vision of what we're going to do. And what if you don't have a big Christmas party that you have to get ready for, you'll probably just sit around and not do much. But if you have people coming, right? That's why I invite people over to my house, so that I get my house cleaned every once in a while. Because without that hope that someone's coming, there's no vision. What does it matter whether this is clean or that is clean? And so we need to be people of passion. And hope fuels our passion and fuels our vision. Hopeless people have no passion. Hopeless people have no passion. And so we are people that really have been ruined for the ordinary. The Holy Spirit actively involved in our everyday lives, because God is not an ordinary God, then neither should his people be. And so the next slide goes through Jeremiah and says that it doesn't see or fear when the heat comes. Quite the opposite. Its leaf is green. Now, heat doesn't necessarily mean what we'd like in this room right now, if some of you are a bit chilly, or what we want outside. It's not just talking about, it's metaphorically speaking. So when burdens come, when persecution comes, when the heat is on in our lives, in our circumstances, we don't even see it and we don't even fear it. You ever had anybody say to you, I don't know how you're going through this. Such a horrible thing that you're going through. And it's like, what? Really? Because we hope in the Lord. We trust, we rely on the Lord. We don't even see and we don't fear when the heat comes. Quite the opposite. Its leaf is green. We're not anxious and full of care when drought comes, but we yield our fruit. Now, both these things are contrary to being ordinary or average, aren't they? In fact, they are opposed to the natural. I am on slide number 5, Cindy. So both are quite contrary to being ordinary or average. They're opposite to what is natural. Because when heat comes and there's no water, well, we've had some drought in times past in our country. Things wither up. They shrivel. My little plant that I planted, if I don't water that plant, it doesn't stay green. It doesn't flourish. But Scripture says that when we hope, rely, and trust in the Lord, when heat comes in our lives, then our leaf is green and we flourish and we grow. That's what the Scripture says. It says that when drought comes, when there's no water, then we don't even have a care about that. But we still yield fruit, and that is contrary to the natural realm. It's actually, slide number 6, it's supernatural provision. That's what we're seeing here. So this is not just an average promise from God, because he's not an average God. Amen? He's awesome and amazing. Supernatural provision. And all, in quotes, we have to do is trust in the Lord, hope in the Lord, and rely on the Lord. Now, I hear some saying, that's easier said than done. Is it? Is it really? Knowing God and knowing his commitments to us, his promises to us, Knowing the foundation, the basis that we had of God who came from heaven, took on flesh, died, resurrected again. Those are all promises in the Word of God. And yet they didn't see it. For 400 years, there was silence between the Old and New Testament. But they still hoped, relied on God. And when the angel came to Mary and said, "You're going to have a son," she said, "Well, that time's past. That's not going to happen anymore. What are you talking about, a Messiah?" No, because they still were hoping, relying on God, even though it took time. And time seems to be our enemy when it comes to hoping, relying on God. They said, "Well, I've done that. I've pulled out my New Year's resolutions from last year, and none of what I thought God was going to do happened." But God is a God who keeps his promises. And is it really easier to trust a person just because I can see, feel, and touch them? Is it easier to hope in my hard work, I'm going to get this done, my arm of flesh, the Bible calls it? Is it really easier to hope that I am going to get this done? No, that's not really. So when we say we need to hope, trust, rely on God, it's easier said than done. No, it's not. We just have to take some time, and we need to meditate and hope in God. Hope doesn't always come naturally for sinners like us. Listen, we have to preach it to ourselves. When was the last time you preached yourself a message? What if, let's see, we don't have 52 people in this room, but what if we did and I said, "Okay, you're on for preaching next Sunday, you're on for preaching the Sunday after, you're on the Sunday after. It's your time to preach." Or maybe you're not called to preach from a pulpit, but you're called to preach to yourself in the mirror. You're called to look at yourself and say, "You hope in God. You hope in God. You trust, you rely on God, because here's what God says." And then you go through what you know in the scripture that talks about who God is in your life and for your life. God says we give way to a downcast and a disquieted spirit when we don't hope in God. The best sermon that you can preach to yourself this week may only contain three words: hope in God. Let's go into the new year hoping in God. When we trust in our reliable God, then scripture says our roots spread out into the river. And so, like thousands of others, we make a choice, don't we? Life is all about choices, good ones, bad ones, you know, great ones. It's not about a certain type of personality. It's about obedience, and it's about a choice. So it's also important to teach our children and our kids the faithfulness of God, that they have a history and a foundation to lean on as they grow up, and as the protection that is provided by a mom or a dad or a family, the protection is kind of stretches out a little bit as they go out into the world on their own, then they're going to have a foundation. They're going to remember. That's why we keep the kids in service, so they'll remember the songs that we sing, because the songs that we sing are based on the Word of God, and that hope will rise up within them when they're going through hard times in our lives. Scripture talks about teaching our kids of who God is and what the Scriptures say. And so we simply put our trust, our hope, rely on the Lord, and our roots spread deep into the roots, into the river. Our foundation is tied to the glorious river of God, the Holy Spirit. He's the one who gives us the hope. It's a decision thing. It's not a circumstance thing. It's not, "Well, things are going great for me now, so yeah, I can hope, I can trust in the Lord." No, but I hope, I trust in the Lord even in our circumstances. And then slide number 7, when we go through times of doubt and discouragement, pain and disappointment and distress, don't misplace your confidence. Don't misplace your confidence. When you go through times of leanness in your finances, don't misplace your confidence. When you go through times of health, don't misplace your confidence. Yeah, we have confidence in doctors and medication, but don't misplace that hope and put it on doctors and medication. You keep that hope on God Almighty. And so we notice as we read through this that heat does come and drought does come. stuff happens. Chickens hit the fan. I think we all know a little bit about heat and about drought, but we've got to have our roots spreading out first before the heat and the drought comes. Don't wait until the heat and drought comes and then say, I got to press into God. No, press into him now while things are well in our life. We have to work on it, because if trusting and hoping and relying on God makes us different, then we should be more passionate. We should be more confident. We should be happier. We should be kinder than at people who don't know Jesus Christ. I don't want just average. I don't want just average. Let's not settle for just average. The image of our glorious God needs to be imprinted on our mind and our spirits and our understanding. And we have to stir ourselves up oftentimes. You know, you have to want it. You have to want it. You know why, and if you don't, but if you were to go into a bar, they are so kind because they serve salted pretzels on the table. They're free. You could eat all the salted pretzels that you want, but there's a motive behind it. What's it for? Make you thirsty. Make you thirsty. And so we have to want it, and oftentimes God allows stuff to come into our lives that are like salted pretzels. They make us thirsty, and make us thirsty for more of God. And we have to stir ourselves up. Maybe on some of our New Year's resolution papers, we just simply need to say, God, I want you to help me to want you more. Because I can't do it in my own strength. I need you, Holy Spirit, to help me want you more, to help me want your word more, prayer more, all of those things. And you know, we watch, I think most of you this past week have watched hockey players and people who are in sports. They go to incredible, incredible lengths when it comes. They don't want to come in second. They want to come in first. And so the ones that come in first, oftentimes they're asked, like, what made the difference? And the second place team says they just wanted it more. They just wanted it more. They tried harder. They trained harder. Not necessarily just in the game, but they trained harder. The years beforehand, they trained harder. So we watch our team play a sport, and someone messes up, and what do we shout? Stay focused, right? Get back in there. Shake it off. I think some of us as Christians need to say that to each other and need to say it to ourselves. Come on, shake it off. This year can be better and will be better. If any of you watch The Amazing Race, Canada's Amazing Race, they eat bugs, crazy, dopey things they do for money, just for money. Just for money is so temporal. They jump off high buildings. I love it, but it's crazy. And so we as Christians need to push ourselves a little harder and need to want it a little better, a little more passion in our lives. It's not something we drum up on our own, but there are things that we can do to facilitate our hearts being enlightened, a revelation of God, a disclosure of God in our lives, and a move away from me, a move towards God, is a move away from average. It's a process. The athletes weren't born that way. They had some natural talents, but every one of them worked on it. I remember a very, very beautiful woman, even in her old age, I think it was Elizabeth Taylor who said it, and she was like 80 years old, and she was still beautiful. And when they asked her why, she said, I work at it. She said, I'm at the gym every day at 6 a.m., every day I go to the gym and I work out. 80 years old, I keep doing this. I work at my rest. I work at this. So we think, oh, she's just naturally beautiful. And there is part of that, yes, which is great for you and I, because we have the nature of God Almighty within us. So this kindness, this love, this compassion, this passion is part of our nature. It's part of who I am now that I'm saved, because I have Christ living inside of me. And he takes over my personality and puts his personality in there. But we do our part, don't we? We work at it. We go to church. We sing when we're not just in church. We put Christian music on. We shut the television off. We have times of daily reading, times of when I'm spending time with just God, just me and God alone. I work at my walk with God. If we don't, listen, it doesn't take long. If you go to a gym and you stop going for a month, you realize how fast flabby happens. And Christian flabby happens real fast too. I'm sure some of you, like me, have noticed. And so, for you and I, God puts the promise before us, attainable promises. Nothing God promises is like way out there, I'll never reach that. God is not like that. But we do our part. We have to want it bad enough. We have a call, a destiny, and a purpose. Then slide number 8. We have the ability to trust in the Lord and hope in the Lord, he wouldn't tell us to do it. When we trust and rely and hope on the Lord, here are the results. We're like a tree planted by water. Our roots spread out to that river. When I hope and trust, rely on the Lord, and I'm going through a hard time, I've got some roots that are going to not go to this and go to that, and well, I'm just going to sit here and veg. No, my roots are saying, come on, come to the river, drink from the Holy Spirit. Roots that spread out by the river. No fear when heat comes. Well, that's something. Burdens, trials, persecution comes. No heat. No sweat. God's got this. Green leaf. Prosperity in the midst of the positive or the negative stuff that happens. Psalm 1 says the same, doesn't it? Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord. Doesn't trust in man, doesn't trust in our own strength. Doesn't mean I'm not strong. It doesn't mean I shouldn't work. Doesn't mean I shouldn't do these things. But I don't trust in that because Scripture says that will fail. Not anxious in times of drought. Well, that's something. Not anxious when things dry up, when the money dries up. I'm not anxious about it because my roots are going towards the river. And I'm hoping, relying, and trust on the Lord. Never ceasing from being fruitful. There's the increase. And God is a God of increase. Have you had some increase in 2017? Are you looking for more increase, not just financially, but I'm looking for financial increase, amen. But are we looking for increase in our church body? What are we going to do about that? Are you going to invite some friends to church? What are we going to do? If we want our church to grow, what are we going to do about it? What's our part? All of those things so far above average. How does this happen? We hope. We trust and we rely on the Lord. When we do, our roots go deep and we're like a tree planted by the waters and our roots spread out. Then fear doesn't replace faith and despair and doubt don't overtake us. When we trust in the Lord, it means that I am bold, I'm confident, I'm secure, and things are sure in my life. Do we boldly obey the Word of God? Are we confident and secure in the Word of God? Psalm 42 says, and we need to say this to ourselves oftentimes, soul, why are you downcast? Why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God. It's not a question. Don't you hope in God? It's a command. Hope in God. For I shall again praise him, my help and my God. Our sure salvation. Biblical hope is confident expectancy. Number 9. It's the act of hoping. There are two types of hope in Scripture. Romans 4:8 is the act of hoping. Even when there was no reason for hope, Abraham kept hoping, believing that he would become the father of many nations. That's hope. That's because God said it. For God has said to him that you will have so many descendants. So God said it, so his hope isn't placed in his own body or his own lack of performing, his lack of seed he or Sarah might have. No, he's not depending on that. He's hoping in the Word of God. And that's the act of hoping. And then 1 Corinthians 9:10, Wasn't he actually speaking to us? Yes, it was written for us so that the one who plows and the one who threshes the grain might both expect a share of the harvest. And so the seed planter is hoping that this seed is going to grow. That's what I do every time I preach a sermon. God, I hope this seed is going to grow. I hope that the people of God are going to catch the seed and not be tired or apathetic, but that we're going to catch the seed. And then the one who threshes, well, he's hoping, well, I get to cut this wheat down. I hope that I'm going to get to make some bread out of it. So there's the act of hoping. And then there's the things that are hoped for. Colossians 1:5, which comes from your confident hope of what God has reserved for you in heaven. So he's talking about eternal life. We have incredible, how many of you are expecting to go to heaven when you die? Yeah, that's our hope. That's our hope, and we're sure of that. Nobody could ever talk me out of that. Never talk me out of that. I'm absolutely positive that when I die, or maybe before, I'll go to heaven. And then 1 Peter, all praise to God, the Father of Lord Jesus Christ, is by his great mercy we've been born again because God raised Jesus from the dead. Now we live with great hope or great expectation. When we have no hope, we become hopeless. Apathy steals freedom. And when we are apathetic and passive about things, we have no interest, then we need to turn back and we need to begin to hope again. You know, I've preached in a lot of places across our nation and across the world. I've preached. I can tell people who don't have hope because they're apathetic. They never say amen during a sermon. They never nod their head. They never look interested. They've just got this apathy within them because they don't have any hope. When you hope in the Word of God, when you have hope in what God has said to you, there's something that comes alive within us. Amen? Come on, don't let me think that about you. Say amen. Apathy is an effective tool of Satan. And we just say, who cares? What does it matter? That's because we have no hope. So may there be a revelation, a disclosure of God in the area of hope in each one of our lives. Verses, slide 10, Jeremiah 17, 5 and 6, if you go back. Cursed, miserable, the loss of everything significant is the man who trusts in and relies on frail man, making weak flesh his arm and whose mind and heart turn aside from the Lord. There's the misplaced confidence right there. For he is like, okay, here's the contrast between someone who hopes in themselves and someone who hopes in God. He's like a shrub or a person naked and destitute in the desert. If that doesn't paint a picture for you, nothing will. He doesn't see anything good coming, but dwells in parched places in the wilderness and in uninhabited salt land. Do you know anybody like that? Do you know anybody that's just hopeless, that's just doesn't have anything good to say, doesn't think anything good is going to happen to them? They've lost hope. And hope needs to be restored again. The contrast is in the next slide. Blessed is the man who believes in, trusts in, relies on the Lord, and whose hope and confidence the Lord is. For that man is like a tree planted by the waters, spreads out its root by the river, doesn't see and fear when heat comes, but its leaf is green. It shall not be anxious, full of care in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. So let's go into 2018 with confident expectancy. Lost hope renewed. Let's have a revelation, a disclosure of God, and just what hope is. When we do, we find a reservoir of emotional strength that comes from hoping. Biblical hope not only desires something good for the future, it expects it to happen. What are you going to write on your paper? What have you written on your paper? What are you expecting God to do? I encourage you to expect big. Not little, expect big. And a measurable goal. Not, I want to love God more. How are you going to measure that? Can you measure that? No, I don't think he can, because just because I raise my hands and shout and sing and dance doesn't mean I love God more than the quiet person who just sits. It doesn't mean that. So let's challenge our faith. And let's challenge God. Biblical hope not only desires something good for the future, it expects it to happen. And it not only expects it to happen, it is confident that it will happen. Amen? I'm going to ask the worship team to come and lead us in a worship song, please. And just now, let's stand together. I'd like to pray for you. Now you put your hands just like this, just like you're receiving something. You know, many of us got gifts at Christmas, and we stretched out our hands and we received those gifts. So go ahead, just put your hands in a place of receiving. Put your hands in a place of receiving. Father, today we receive a revelation of hope. We say hope, renewed hope, restored. Father, I pray for these people this morning. I pray for this precious congregation, Father. Where hope has been lost, I pray that hope will be restored, renewed again, will stand strong. And because of that, we will stand and we will honor God. And Father, I pray that this year you would just give us fresh breath of hope. Where things have been lost, stolen, taken away, where death has happened, where sickness has happened, where all kinds of stuff has happened that just put a siphon on some of the hope that within us. And Father, today with our hands raised before you, God, we say, hope, come again.
Yes, hope, come again.
We bring forgiveness.
Yes.
We forgive those who have hurt us.
Yes, you do.
We forgive, Lord. Father, forgive us where we've relied on our own strength for our jobs. We relied on our own strength to do this. Forgive us, Lord. We now place our hope and our trust in you, but we need you to do it in us and through us, because this isn't something we can do ourselves. And so, Father, we say lost hope be renewed again in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen, amen. God bless you. Let's worship the Lord together.